marketing, explosive growth, and revolutionary secrets that can catapult your business to new heights. You're now listening to the Underground Marketer Podcast with your host, Tudor Dumitrescu, the one podcast devoted to showing new businesses how to market themselves for high growth.
Welcome to the Underground Marketer. This is the place where we deliver the real truth about marketing and explore big ideas that can help new businesses thrive and grow into big ones. I'm your host, Tudor, and today it's my honor to welcome Ofer Breyer. He's the co-founder of Impro.ai, a company devoted to improving performance and developing talent for organizations and businesses at scale through AI, and also Stages.Global, an organization devoted to changing the educational systems worldwide. Ofer is also a polymath. He has read over 17,000 books and has developed methodologies that can help lead to rapid talent development in multiple fields. Welcome, Ofer.
Welcome, Tudor. Thank you.
I'm very glad to have you here. I have a lot of interesting things that I want to discuss with you because I think that learning is at the heart of entrepreneurship and really startups, and how we can do that more efficiently. But before we get there, I was wondering if you can tell us a bit more about your background and how you really got involved with talent development, how basically your career has progressed until now.
I will try to do it as short as possible, Tudor. Basically, I'm 65. So when I was born, the first thing I did is was teaching my puppets in a room, in a U-shape, like in the room, teaching them different things that I was trying to explore for myself. My father was a great teacher. He's still alive. He's 101 today.
Wow. Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. After 3 years of teaching puppets and watching a model of a great teacher, my father, who was a teacher in a school, and I watched him. I was sent to school like any other child for the first grade. And the first thing I saw that the teacher does not know how to teach. Mm-hmm. So I told her that she does not know how to teach, because I had already experienced 3 years of teaching the puppets and I had a great model. Mm-hmm. Basically, when you practice something and you have a great model to copy, this is the essence of learning, right? So you see a model and you practice something daily. This is kind of the first thing that I've learned in my life. The second thing was that I said to my father, I don't want to go to school. So in Israel at that time, when I lived those times, it was illegal to be homeschooled. But my father arranged it somehow. I went to school only 2 days a week. Another 3 days, I went to the library. Mm-hmm. In the library, from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4 p.m., I was just studying books, not reading books. It's different. And my father had a system on how to read books and how to extract the knowledge into practice. So I finished 17 tons of books until I was 18 years old. Since then, I've read many more books, but it's not reading. It's about learning, implementation, and optimization. So basically, I never went to school, never went to high school. So therefore, I was not being expected to university. I decided that I want to be a music teacher because I played piano, because I had enough time in the afternoon to play piano and do martial arts. Mm-hmm. So I decided to teach piano, and I saw that the method that being taught in the world, like harmony and scales, doesn't work. So I bought a book about mathematics and music, and I decided to create a methodology based on mathematics and music to teach musicians within the next, I would say, 20 years, from 20 years old to 43 years old. Basically, what I did, I was teaching the mathematics of music. Mm-hmm. I became a very known jazz music teacher, probably in Israel and in the world. I've trained 3,000 professional musicians, basically, to take the non-talented and help them to become talented as musicians. 3,000 professional musicians been trained by me in those 20 years. And I also became a head of the jazz department of a school and also opened another school for rock music. And then after those years, I found that I have something in my hand, and I started to give lectures about innovation, different companies, right? Mm-hmm. Just because they hired me to give a keynote speaking or a workshop or something. Within 3 years, I found a way to translate what I knew about the mathematics of music to the mathematics of management and innovation, which is logical process. And then I wrote my second methodology. My first methodology was how to use mathematics for music. And that's probably the reason I succeeded as a teacher. And then I did the same for innovation and management systems to create some logical processes. So within the following 20 years, I was working as a consultant, trainer, a coach for hundreds of companies. I had hundreds of projects from small startups from, I don't know, Singapore to Silicon Valley, Germany, other places, of course, Israel. And then I worked also with large global organizations like Microsoft, HP, and others. And I was known as a keynote speaker, as a coach, as a mentor, as a consultant in the fields, still innovation and management. Innovation and management is about talent development. How do you take a person who is a normal person with some abilities and you make him totally gifted? And then while doing this work, I went one day to the Czech Republic with my daughter to drink some beer and have some good food. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with the Czech Republic and I decided to stay there in one day.
Wow.
I called my wife and I told her, Maya, come over. She took two bags and she came over and we stayed there for 2.5 years.
Prague?
In Prague.
It's a beautiful city, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. The food, the people, the view. So while staying in Prague, I met people. One of the skill sets that I have after, 40 years of work at that time, is that I developed about 200 methodologies from different skills of personal development. Mm-hmm. 200 methodologies. Some of them were as a request by people who wanted me to write for them a methodology. And most of them were methodologies that I wrote just for myself. And one of the methodologies was how to build relationship. Mm-hmm. I came to the Czech Republic. I didn't know one person. After 6 months, my friends were the prime minister, 4 billionaires, head of universities. And of course, I would say tens of thousands of people in the Czech Republic knew my name. Mm-hmm. That I've done it like in 6 months. I had a plan, I had a model. It works. You implement. That's how it works. That's a methodology. So while doing this, I found a little city somewhere, very poor city, and I saw that the children are still learning things from the 1960s. Mm-hmm. So I decided to devote myself and build down for them a methodology to enhance the speed of development for the children. Mm-hmm. It became a very successful project with thousands of kids and hundreds of teachers. And that's what we've done. It was kind of non-profit, of course. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, so I have something in my head. What if I know that in the next 10 years, there will be 100 million jobs in AI, but the world will not find even 5 million who are suitable to work in this area. Mm-hmm. And most of the jobs will be automated and
disappear
by machines and robotics and, whatever, AI. So I said, there is a missing link. It's not what you teach in school. It's how you prepare the brain. So I decided that I will take this kind of concept that I did in the Czech Republic and try to sell it to the world, mm-hmm. schools, for homeschooling and so on. And I developed a little methodology, 300 lessons, that was the beginning, and started to implement it in schools, in many places, in order to help those children to be ready with their mind. Basically, it's to make the non-gifted gifted. Mm-hmm. So I do it with adults and I do it with kids. And then I met this guy who's my partner today, and Josh, and he said, what do you do for adults? And I said, well, I created a methodology that can coach every person in a company, mm-hmm. every person in a company, every person, like even the lowest level in the company, right? Daily. But I developed a unique methodology, which is not coaching. Because when you say coaching, you basically say, I know what coaching is, but it's not coaching. Mm-hmm. What we do is something totally different. We call it guidance. And there's a new model that when you start to implement it, you become better every day. You become better every day at every action item, at everything that you have. So I did it with 60 people first, doing by email. Then I developed an app. Maya developed the app. And now we have hundreds of users and we have like more than 30 companies mm-hmm. working with us. And we having a whole team of AI experts and developers and coaches and stuff like that on our system.
Fascinating.
And this is what we do today with Impro AI. We go into companies and we have a very, very revised model, which is totally not coaching, but we still call it coaching because people don't understand what we do. The results are phenomenal. So how do you help 1 billion people to stay in their jobs in the next 10, 20 years? Because they're going to lose their jobs anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you do? How do you prepare the brain for the future? How do you make people ready for the AI world, which is coming up fast? And how do you prepare their children to be ready for this world? This was the mission that we have had. And those two organizations are basically focusing on that mission, trying to get to as many people, not teaching them skills, nothing, just making them gifted enough, make them brilliant enough, make them multi-talents, make them polymath thinkers, in the industry and polymath thinkers in the school system. So they will be able to understand their general understanding of the world and be able to focus on a new subject every 2 years and change their jobs.
Mm-hmm. This is all fascinating. I mean, I took a lot of detailed notes and it's hard to decide where to start because I have a lot of questions for you. I guess let's start by, you mentioned towards the beginning of the discussion that you studied the books instead of just read them. Can you explain a bit the difference and exactly how do you approach studying a book? Like, what's your methodology there?
Well, it's not my methodology, it's my father's methodology. I will share a little bit of it because it will take hours to explain, but let's say the books. So my father told me one thing. You go to the library, you choose a book on one shelf. In that shelf, you have books on the same subject usually. Mm-hmm. There are two books with stories, or you have books with knowledge. Mm-hmm. So you differentiate between them, right? The books with stories are more inspirational kind of, and the book with knowledge, like about philosophy, mm-hmm. about mathematics, whatever, are more tools, right? There are skills and tools there. So you take a book, you take the first book, you go to the first chapter, first paragraph, you read the paragraph. And then that's what my father told me to do. You write questions that arise in your head on a notebook mm-hmm. when you read a paragraph. It could be questions about the paragraph itself, or it could be questions that arise in your head because you read the paragraph, or could be about other things. Mm-hmm. Write questions. So you read one sentence, question, very slow model. It's not fast reading. It's deep reading. Then I'll show you how you can finish 70,000 books because it's like 3 books per day, basically. Yeah. But it's still deep learning. You take the sentence, you write the question, you take a sentence, you write the question. There's a method how to write the questions. Now, you finished it. One paragraph. You take the questions, you answer them. Mm-hmm. You answer every question. It could be an answer that you found in that book, or you can be an answer that comes from your head. It could be a guesswork. It could be anything, but you have to answer the question. Mm-hmm. You see, in schools, the questions are being asked by the teacher. You give the answers. But now we don't need the answers from the student because the student can go to Google and find the answers mm-hmm. probably. So that what the children need to learn is how to question. So now what I did was that. Read, question. Answer the questions. Whether they're related to the subject or not. Second paragraph, the same. Third paragraph, the same. So the first book, 100 pages, will take you a month, 6 hours per day.
Wow.
Very slow, but very deep. Then my father told me, you finish the book, you go to the second book in the library about the same subject, maybe by the same writer, maybe by another writer. Let's say it's a book about philosophy, mm-hmm. about logic, whatever. Take the second book. But you see, when you take the second book and you start to read, something happens. Why? Because all of those writers usually have references, okay, from other books. Mm-hmm. So when you go to the second book and you read the paragraph, now you can ask questions, of course, about the paragraph, but sometimes you can see that the paragraph is, you don't need to read it and you don't need to question it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's the same kind of material that you found already on the first book. You already know it. Mm-hmm. So what happens in your eyes, you go first paragraph, second paragraph, then you go to the third one, yeah, I know this. Continue. So you jump over the paragraph because the eye can see that you already know this material. So if the first book took you, let's say, 100 hours, the second book will take you 90 hours. Mm-hmm. Then you go to the third book. It will take you only 80 hours because most of the materials have been read already and understood on the first and books. Second book.
Yeah.
When you get to the 10th book, it takes you 10% of the time because 90% you already know. It's just you're looking for new insights. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you finish 10 books about philosophy and now you take 10 books about geography. What's interesting is that suddenly when you question things in the book of geography, let's say, mm-hmm. or physics, whatever, are based on what you read in the philosophy books. So now your question becomes smarter because they're not about geography, it's about the philosophy of geography. Mm-hmm. So the brain now translates knowledge from philosophy to geography. And this is the polymath mind, mm-hmm. when you can translate knowledge from one field to another, like Leonardo da Vinci, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the way I learned. It was not the only thing that I've done, but this is kind of the main essence. Now, when you question those questions, some of the things are questions, how can I implement it? Whether it's philosophy or geography? And this is what my father added to it. Slowly he told me, so what can you do with it tomorrow? What action can you take? What results can you measure? If it works, how you replicate it, you do it many times. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work, how you fix it? Basically, this is exactly what we do in improv, right? When we are going into this kind of daily coaching on every subject that matter that you have in hand. So this is kind of the process of learning. Maybe I should write a book about it. I don't know. Maybe I should write a whole system around it. But part of it is being done with the in improv, and part of it is, of course, is being used in stages for the children. But it could be a standalone.
Mm-hmm, for
because
sure.
Today, if you cannot learn fast and deep, you have no understanding how things work. That's the problem. People are learning on the surface. They read books, you know, on the surface. No deep understanding, and therefore they cannot implement the knowledge. So it's just become inspirations and stays in inspirations. And maybe you will take some tips. but you will never be able to implement. So if you take the book, the four-hour work week, can you implement everything into your life really to have a four-hour work week? No, you're just being inspired.
Yes, I mean, this is fascinating, and you've covered a lot of ground there, from how to translate knowledge from different fields to taking theory into practice, which you covered with the last part of the methodology that you shared. This is all very interesting, and I definitely agree with that. I mean, reading for the sake of reading has no value in and of itself. And the point is for you to become a better thinker, and I think better able to learn for yourself, to be independent somehow. Because, I mean, if you can take knowledge from other people, but you can't create it, there's not much value in the world. Because we have Google, we have machines which can already take existing knowledge, but they can't create new knowledge. So I wanted to ask you next if you have worked on anything that involves the creation of new knowledge, and if you have a methodology around that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So because I was doing what I was doing all those years, I've learned something very important. How can I create a methodology to create a methodology? Because methodology is taking knowledge and implement, right? That's methodology, right? So, but you learn the theory of music, you create a methodology, how to play the piano. That's what I've done the first time. Mm-hmm. So I needed a process, how to transfer knowledge, whether from a book or whether that I want to create by myself, into a methodology that can become, let's say, an online school with six courses, okay, or seven courses or eight courses, with daily implementation, daily measurements, daily optimization. So over time, everything can be implemented. So I created the methodology to create a methodology. I needed it because there was no other way. It means, how do you create, okay, the subject matter? Like 2 weeks ago, I started to work on something about management. I created more than 300 lessons, and it took me less than 2 days.
Wow.
But I was focused 16 hours a day. So that's what in the past I did. People came to me and said, "Oh, can you build an online school for me? On what subject?" So it's either you can go on SEO and find what people are looking for, or you can say, I'm a salesperson, so I think I know how to help people, how to make buying decisions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you want to buy buying decisions, no problem. I will go on the internet. I have a team. They will research what there is not. Okay. And then I will create the skeleton of the methodology and will start to write the methodology for you, everything together with you. Okay. At a certain moment, you have course for implementation of every step and everything. So the concept was basically, how do you take knowledge about something? It could be an experience of a person. Let's say we've been working in a field, podcasting for a couple of years. So how to build a methodology to help people to become great podcasters. Okay. But straightforward, going, let's say, the next 6 months, every day, what to do, every step, what to do, how to do, why to do, how to measure, how to optimize, how to check it, how to test it, right? So methodology, to understand methodology requires, first of all, and most of all, knowing how to map data and how to turn it into information through smart questioning, as I've done when I was reading the books, or let's say studying the books. So there's a whole concept, because if you don't map the data first, and you don't have the big picture, okay, from 10,000 feet, how can you know exactly what to do in each step? And then when you go to each step, so how do you go to the root causes of things? How do you understand deeply what you're going to do and the reasons we are going to do? What will be the right example? What will be the process? How to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good. Got results. How to measure? How to optimize? How to replicate if it works? If it does work, how to fix and then replicate? And then you create a replication system, which is the essence of every big business in the world. It's all about replications of what works. And if you see the COVID, it's a good replication system. We don't like it, but it's one of the best replication systems in the world of DNA, right? So this is the same. If you understand the DNA of things and you map it like they do in science, and then you question like they do in science, and then you create a profound method with step-by-step for everything, then you can train soldiers better, you can train business people better, you can train children better, and you can train yourself better.
This is truly outstanding, because, I mean, this is a meta theory of learning, really, and it affects things at all levels. I think that the impact that this hack can have in the world is huge, really. Right. I mean, my next question, because now we've discussed about the acquisition of knowledge, transferring knowledge from one field to the other.
Yeah.
The next big factor is the human factor, or shall I say the emotional factor? Because from my own observation, let's say the biggest thing that holds entrepreneurs back and people who are looking to create change in the world or do something that's out of the ordinary, different than what's already out there, is really managing their emotions and their mindset. Like, I've observed this on myself. It's not often the lack of knowledge that hurts me so much as emotions which I cannot effectively control. So have you developed any methodologies around that? And what would be your advice to entrepreneurs in terms of that?
I will tell you something that my father used to do with me, and then I'll tell you what we do today. When I was young, my father taught me how to play with puzzles, you know, pieces that you put together. I started with a puzzle with 100 pieces. I got to the puzzles of 5,000 pieces in a couple of years, not one day. In the beginning, he brought to me the box. I was able to see the picture, and I was trying to figure the parts and put them together. Something I've learned about puzzles is when you finish the puzzle, you are not happy because you stop playing. It's the end. You finish the puzzle. So what's now? You know when you're happy in a puzzle? Every time you find one piece and put it in the right place. Mm-hmm. Think about business. If you find the right piece every time and you build a business, a system that works, then it works. When people come to me and say, yeah, Ofer, I want to make $10 million, or I want to make $100 million, this is the wrong target. You should think how to build a system that will create $10 million, $100 million, $1 billion. That's how I'm working with startups. What is the process that should be in place? Not the numbers. Now, the problem with this kind of thing is that it's based a lot on biases and false beliefs. Our emotions are triggered by the biases that we have. And there are more than 250 biases in the world. And there are more than 400 different false beliefs that people encounter in their life. And this leads them to make the decisions. So how can you fix it? You go to the puzzle. You say, okay, this event, what did you do exactly? How do you feel about it? And what have you learned from it? Three questions. I've created the thinking algorithms, hundreds of thinking algorithms. This is one of them. So, like I said, Tudor, yesterday, when you met with X, what did you do? Oh, we had lunch. How did you feel about meeting that person for lunch? And you were sharing some feelings. So what have you learned from it? Why have you learned? Because now you want to replicate it, isn't it? If it was fun meeting a person that you haven't met for 6 months and it was beneficial to you on an emotional level, intellectual level, physical level, hugging the person, whatever, then you have to learn. If you cannot learn, if you cannot stop to learn at every event that you're doing in life, it's like after this call, how do you feel about this call? What have you learned at this call? What have you learned not only from me, what have you learned about yourself in this call, which is more important? Mindset can be changed by concepts. But mindset is not good enough because there's an implementation part. So in order to change a mindset, really, you have to implement, to fix, to optimize, to copy, to fix and copy, and then go back to the beginning in order to create the cycle of building this beautiful puzzle in the brain. All those books about mindset, okay? These are great books, but people don't change mindset because of reading a book about changing a mindset. But if you go to every piece of a puzzle every day, imagine you could ask yourself every 15 minutes, what did they do in the past 15 minutes? What did they learn from it? What can I implement from it? What can I replicate? Imagine you do it every 15 minutes for 30 seconds. You would change your mindset for sure, because it's all the micro elements of your life are being optimized and optimized and optimized and optimized. This is what we do in improv, by the way, with all our users, participants. We call them participants, not users. So we have a coach, okay, that is looking at what you do. We look at how you manage your people in a team, in a company. We'll advise you. And we also analyze 60 different layers of your conscious, because when you answer me, I can know things about you that you don't know about yourself, because we are using some AI platforms, smart AI platforms, to really analyze. And maybe you will tell me, you know, Tudor, yeah, I had a great day yesterday. I went for lunch and we did this and we ate a nice steak and blah, blah, blah. And I will be able to analyze this question was AI and some human work together, a mix. And I would say, Tudor, you sound very sad. And there's no one word that can describe it. You're sad. And then I would find the reason you are sad. And if I find the reason, I will be able to overcome and have a better success model for this event that you went for lunch and having a steak, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was sadness in there. Okay, maybe the sadness was because you cannot hug the person because there's COVID. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about you need to hug a person or not to hug a person. And now you overcome it when you can't hug people, right? So we go in very deep levels through micro sessions. That's what we do, of understanding and making the change of mindset and implementing measurement, optimization, and replication.
Right. It sounds like this system works very well. However, it does take a person to be somewhat self-driven to make it work for them. Are there any techniques that you can use to take somebody who doesn't have that drive? Because I mean, I've met a lot of myself, I'm an entrepreneur, I do have that drive to go out there and do things myself, but I've met a lot of people who don't have that drive, or they do have it, but it's not strong enough. Is there anything that people can do to strengthen it?
First of all, let's think about driving bicycles. You need to want to drive bicycles. If you don't want to ride bicycles, then I can do nothing about it. But let's say you want, but you're afraid to fall, right? Afraid to fail, right? So let's say you're afraid to fail. So now I'm saying, okay, how can I help you not to fail in the beginning so you have enough cards, okay? So I will do something that will enable you to drive the bicycles, not really falling or maybe failing a little bit, as long as you enjoy the ride. So you see, maybe I will give you 30 seconds on a bicycle that you will enjoy and almost not fail, but it will be a challenge for you. And maybe basically instead of riding the bicycle with your feet, you would put your feet on the ground and move with your feet on the ground, okay, while sitting on the bicycle. So you can still feel like that you are secured. But then at a certain moment, you raise the feet and you let the bicycles continue for like 10 meters or 10 feet or 20, 30 feet, right? And you say, I enjoy it. It's fun. Next day, let's try to do something else. Let's try to hold not 10 seconds without touching the ground, 20 minutes, 20 seconds. And then you say, hey, this is really fun. Can I now use the pedals? Because I took the pedals off before. I just was breaking them. I was taking them off. You didn't have them. You have to do with your feet on the ground, right? But then suddenly you say, okay, I'm ready. You see, you have to be ready. But how do you make people ready? You give them a challenge, not too big enough, not to fail. You teach them how to enjoy that challenge. And while doing this, with this micro level, enhance it to a little bit more than it was before. Then when you start to accelerate the speed, it goes somewhere else. Why? Because in the beginning, when you ride the bicycles, you drive slowly. It's like when you do ice skating. You're trying to hold to the bar, right? In order not to fall, right? But suddenly you can, I can do it. This is so beautiful. I can have like 5 meters without touching the bar in the ice skating. Oh, as long as you create more joy, people will become more addicted to the joy, right? Because this is what we do. We're going for the joy and we are trying to not to live in the world of pain, right? We are running away from pain, running towards joy, right? This is what humans do. So if you'll do it in small segments and very, very small parts, and every time you will enhance the bar, okay? Saying, okay, you will see that people enjoy one thing for sure, I can tell you. And it's being called speed. When you drive the bicycles 2 kilometers per hour, and then you know how to drive the bicycle 10 kilometers per hour, and then you can drive the bicycle 30, you enjoy. That's why people go on the rides in Disney, right? Because they enjoy the speed. So over time, when you have these little, small little techniques combined together to enhance the speed, then the joy becomes bigger. But if you don't want to go on the bicycle, there's nothing I can do for you.
It's fascinating how you're building the system step by step. And I think that that's a missing key for a lot of people. I mean, it reminds me of the way that I learned swimming, you know, because I used all these devices to help me in the beginning and I never felt uncomfortable. And then suddenly I could swim. It was like magic, you know, and I never felt discomfort. And I compare that with ways that I learned other things when I was older, where it was sort of like the equivalent of jumping in a pool and having to figure it out. And it was a lot more anxiety producing. And even though I learned, and maybe I learned faster, it wasn't anywhere near as enjoyable as doing it step by step. So I think that this is a key to the process because, I mean, willpower does help, but there's a certain limit to how much you can push yourself.
I can tell you one more thing. We had a company that came to us and they said, we just bought this book for salespeople. What sales? And we did a workshop about it. But now the workshop was there, the book was there, there was no implementation optimization. They gave us the book. We have a team that can sit down and rewrite the book as micro action items and measurements and coaching processes around them. And we just sit down and implement daily with every salespeople 3 to 4 times a day, every aspect of that book. So if you would give me, let's say, the 4-hour work week, okay, book tomorrow, okay, I can take the book, create a coaching system around it, implementation measurements and with everything, speed, joy, acceleration, and so on. Mm-hmm. And then basically I can go to Tim Ferriss, who's a friend also, and say to him, Tim, not only that all the people implemented the book, because people, when they buy books, they hardly read it. Mm-hmm. People write books, they never read them. They just buy them. Now it's all implemented. Now I can give you all the data, how it was implemented, what works, what doesn't work, how mm-hmm. to write your next book, what are the next needs, because it's all implemented. So we know how to do this. We know how to take the book and rewrite it as a coaching program, micro coaching program. These are expertise in micro coaching. This is the expertise of improv, right? But it's also in the education. It's mm-hmm. micro training of children to become gifted. So it's the same micro ability. The micro is the fastest way to go. People want to jump to conclusions. You cannot jump into conclusion. You can have one conclusion at a time. But over time, as I told you, the 10th book took me 10th of the time. Mm-hmm. To understand, to deploy, and to measure. And I will add my one thing into it. We work with a lot of people in companies, and I've been doing consulting and training and coaching, you know, forever. One of the things I've been able to see that people are very busy, and it's something we call busyness. And people believe that being busy is a formula to success. Then when I tell them that Warren Buffett is getting up in the morning and reading books for 4 hours, and then he's reading Excel for 4 hours of data, and then once a day makes one decision, 1 hour of work. People tell me, yeah, but that's because he's rich. No, he's rich because he's like that. Mm-hmm. Do you know any person that knows how to read and deploy books every morning for 4 hours, building a startup, building a company, being a manager, being people, they don't learn. They don't know how to learn. So they become less knowledgeable. The only knowledge they have is the experience, this little experience that they have in one field. But you need to understand the world much better in order to build something which is really unique and strong and powerful system. But they don't have the time to read. Now, I enforce them to read 8 times a day because I do it in between meetings. But there's a whole model. How do you read? How do you learn? How do you implement? How do you use the knowledge? How do you make the company better? How do you make your life better? How do you make your relationship better with your children, with your wife, with everything else? Now, every person now needs today in the world therapy. What do they need therapy for? You see, because there's some sickness, so you need therapy in order to fix it. But if there was no sickness, there was no need for therapy. Mm-hmm. If you know how to manage right your life, you don't need therapy. I don't think that Warren Buffett goes to therapy.
I agree with that. I think that it's a big problem today. And it's also a problem because it doesn't teach you how to be self-reliant. I think that a big factor in there is that people never learn to trust themselves, and they're always looking for reassurance outside of themselves. And that's never 100% dependable. And this is a very interesting topic, but I'd like us to move the discussion to something else, which you said much earlier in our conversation, which I think is of great interest to our listeners. Namely, you mentioned about building relationships when you went to Prague and how one of your most important skills is the ability to build relationships. And every entrepreneur, I mean, that's one of the key components of what ultimately makes for successful entrepreneurship, whether it's getting partners, whether it's getting investors. So what's your methodology there? How do you go about building relationships?
Quite simple. Look, first of all, you need to say, why do you need a relationship for? So the guy is calling me, said, Ofra, can you help me? I'm looking for a job. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, so use your relationships. I don't have any. I want to build my relationship now. I said, it's too late. You see, when you're successful, you build a relationship. Not when you lost your job. Nobody wants to be your friend. So in the past 10 years, you've been working in a company, you didn't build a relationship of people that wants to give you back. People want to help you. No, it's too late. You have to do it when you're on the top, not when you're bottom. Mm-hmm. In the bottom, you don't build relationship. Relationship is about two things. Endless opportunities, I can tell you. Endless opportunities. Whether it's venture capital, whether it's like finding the right employees, I don't know, whatever. It's all relationship. And because of the relationship, you can have shortcuts. Mm-hmm. So if you want to send your CV to 60 companies because you're looking for a job, you can do it. But also, if you're in a relationship, you just make one phone call and you get the job, mm-hmm. right? So this is where it comes. The relationship is about opportunities and shortcuts. Now, what I did when I came to the Czech Republic, and I give you just an example, I will build it over there. I'm a very well-connected person. Mm-hmm. So if you will call, let's say, Tony Robbins now, and you say, Tony, do you know Ofra? He will tell you a whole story how we became friends. And we're friends, personal friends, not a person who buys his books, personal friend. We talk. Mm-hmm. Oh, everybody wants to be a friend with Tony Robbins, but how many can? And how did I become one? And with a lot of other people, right? So the model is very simple. I came to the Czech Republic. Okay. I don't know anyone. Just the beer, good food, goulash. I was happy. So, and I was there with my daughter for 1 week. Then she was 21, 22, 20, I'm sorry. And then I said, Maya, take 2 bags, come over here. I found a nice apartment, Airbnb. Let's stay. Mm-hmm. Stay for almost like 3 years. No, I said to Maya after 1 month, I'm not looking to make money in the Czech Republic. I'm making money, you know, other ventures and other projects and consulting all over the world. So it's not important. So, but there's one missing thing. I don't have anyone to go for coffee besides a few, Maya. You know, I'd like to meet other people. Mm-hmm. But I want them to be meaningful people. I don't want to waste my time on every person on earth just to have a conversation over coffee. I mean, I want something that will be, there will be some outcome to it over time. So what do? So in the Czech Republic, I took a little napkin and I wrote a model, triangle, and I said to Maya, okay, my target is that 3,000 people will know my name in the Czech Republic. They should come from two sectors, education and business, because that's what I do in my life. How will I make 3,000 people know me? And I said to Maya, I have 1 year for this project. So in 12 months, basically you have to, that 500 people every month will know you. So by the end of 12 months, you will have, so you know it's 500 people. Then I said to Maya, out of those 3,000 people, I want to know personally 3,000 of them. What does it mean? 30,000 will know me. 10% of them, I will know them. And then from these 3,000, I will choose 300 people that I want to build a relationship with. And from the 300, 30 of them, I want to become my close friends. Mm-hmm. And they must be either billionaires, successful CEOs, people from the university in high positions, and government people. And I wrote it down. And then I said to my, okay, let's plan the model. I've done it in the past. I know how to do it. It's all system. If you will ask me, I will show you how to do it. Now, first thing I said, what do you know how to do well, Mr. Breyer? I know how to speak. I'm a keynote speaker. I used to get $25,000 for a keynote speaking. So I'm probably a good one, right? Nobody will pay you if you're not good enough. I said, okay, I can be a keynote speaker. I need to do it for free. But who will hire me in the Czech Republic to give it for free? So I called my friend, Rajesh, from Silicon Valley, and said, do you know anyone in the Czech Republic? I said, yeah, I have one friend. I met with that friend for lunch. I gave him some advice. I was thinking about him. I was helping him, trying to do everything I can do for him. He asked me business questions and so on. And by then he said, well, what can I do for you? You know, that's what people do. So find me a group of 500 people who are willing to listen to my lecture. It could be an organization of lawyers, organization of business people, organization of entrepreneurs. I will give 1.5 with all my vast knowledge, sure, for free. Of course, within 2 weeks, he found a group. The model was very simple. Every week, every month, I will do an event to 500 people, giving them a lecture, or 4 times per month for 130. It's the same number. Now I will go into the room and I will say to everyone, hey guys, I will share with you my knowledge. I want to build a relationship with you. Therefore, what I suggest is by the end of this presentation, send me an email. Here's my email. Mm-hmm. And I will send you a present, a course on how to build a relationship for free, books, videos, for free. And I will never sell you anything in the world in afterwards. I'm not going to use this email to sell you anything. Just free, so we can maintain connection. That's how I started. So now you go and you give a lecture to 500 people. You say to them, you can get my relationship model for free. No string attached. I will never sell you anything. I will never use it against you or to sell you something. Mm-hmm. Get it. Imagine that I can do it, okay? Every month with 500 people, I get 12 months. So the number of 3,000 people know me. So how do I know 10% of them? Now, here it comes. When the people sent me the will send me the email, I'm saying will send me because I use the model in a different way in the end. I'll show with you in a second. I will take 2 people in the office and I'll tell them, okay, now this is what you do. Okay. Well, you can hire somebody on Fiverr to do it for you. Here is the email of the person. Please send an email. Hi, Tudor. I'm so happy that you wrote to me. Let's be friends. Mm-hmm. Would you please share with me your Facebook, your LinkedIn, your Twitter, your whatever, every channel, and a website of your company, if you have a blog, so I will know more about you, and maybe I will connect you to some people, right? Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I was doing. Give me all the list, all these channels. And here is the link to the course. Ever you have any questions about the course, write personally to me, I'll answer you. And I do answer 400 emails per day. Now, next, Okay, but I have a system how to answer 400 emails. So it's fine. Templates and stuff like that. So now the person got is getting in, and giving me data. The data is going to a person in the office or whoever you hire, like a mm-hmm. VA. And you go to the Facebook, and there are certain questions that I wrote, 10 questions. What to take out of the Facebook to know about this personal life of this person? Mm-hmm. What to take about this business life and these connections from mm-hmm. LinkedIn? And I created a profile. Okay, and I'm using CRM machine, and there's a profile about every person from the 3,000. Mm-hmm. For them, I will share with them once a month with all the 3,000 a newsletter of knowledge that I share with them. Mm-hmm. Just knowledge of different things, links, whatever, friendship. Then somebody else in the office or somebody else on Fiverr or whatever you find a VA will have is having a description how to choose the 300 that I want to meet for coffee. Then I put a budget. Like in the Czech Republic, you go for coffee, 10 euro. You go for lunch, 15 euro. You go for dinner, 10 euro, whatever. So I created a budget, how to meet 3 people per day, an hour and a half each one of them. And the budget will be 300 people times $10, 10 euros, and blah, blah, blah. So mm-hmm. I created a budget for the whole year to build this network. And 300 of them, I'm going to meet every day, 3 people, morning, lunch, evening. You can do it anyway, but you can meet one person a day. Mm-hmm. That's better. But I had time, so... And then after we'll meet with them, I will decide who are the 30 that I'm going to be in contact every week. Mm-hmm. Be the 30 people on the top that I will care about them and I will do things for them and mm-hmm. I will help them and I will connect them and I will send them personalized links and knowledge and different things that just will show that I'm a giver and I don't want anything from you, nothing. And then when I started to do it, I made shortcuts. So basically, this was the plan. But then in the end, I became the friend of the prime minister and, mm-hmm. and 2 billionaires in less than 2 months because I was able to optimize the model. I optimized mm-hmm. it. I was able to choose faster. But I had a plan. And the plan was a plan. I think in the Czech Republic, there will be probably today 500,000 people who know my name. I was on the media endless times without mm-hmm. having a PR agency. I became friend of the right people. So I'm well connected. And that's it. So there is a system for everything to do. There's a system for everything. If you work with a precise system and you optimize it and you do it and you measure and you understand your feelings and your actions, everything will work in your life. Everything will work in your life. There are some things you cannot do. I mean, if you have cancer, if you have COVID, science should help. But most of these normal things that we want to achieve in life can be optimized into a precise system. Of course, with the ability to improvise, because it's not always exactly as it's supposed to be. But when you have the tool to improvise and systemize, you're also becoming a classical musician, like mm-hmm. you can orchestrate, you can conduct, but you're also a jazz musician. So if something doesn't work, immediately improvise on it, mm-hmm. make a change, because you have a system on how to do that too.
This is outstanding. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that offer. I have one final question, which I really ask all the guests because listeners are always curious about this. And especially in your case, since you've studied well over 17,000 books now, what would be the top 5 books that you recommend to entrepreneurs? And I realize that must be quite hard for you, having read so much.
This is a very hard question, I would say, because I mix everything in my brain, different aspects from different books, and I create my own internal books. So I will not be able to answer that question. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I know that this is kind of a question people ask, but there's nothing I can recommend because I think you have to read a lot and to take an expert from each book, from each system, mm-hmm. and to create your own internal book of yours. But it should be organized and managed and optimized and implemented. Mm-hmm. There's no book that I can say that you must read that will change your life because I don't think that there was any book that really changed my life. Mm-hmm. It's the sum and the deep work that I was doing in order to... I can tell you that like subjects that you can learn, but it's very hard for me to say a book that you can learn. This is the only thing that I cannot do. I give a lot of answers. I cannot say that there was one book that changed my life. And by the way, when people say this book changed my life, it doesn't mean that it changed their life. It just inspired them very strongly. To change the life, you have to measure.
Absolutely. And I mean, and the other thing that matters here is the order that you read books in. Because I've known people, they said, oh, read this book, you know, it changed my life. And then I read it and I'm like, but... more than half of what's in here I've already read in this other book. But it's just that I've read that other book before and the other guy read the other one before. So each one finds the impact in another one. So I'm with you there. I mean, it's difficult, especially with probably as much as you have read. Yeah, so I mean, I know that our time is wrapping up, so I was wondering if you have anything else to share with our listeners, or if you would like to share some resources with them where they can learn more about you and what you do.
I would say two things. First of all, deploy, measure, and optimize all the time. This is kind of the three words that I believe work well. To deploy knowledge or whatever. Try something. Don't be afraid to do anything new. Try something. If it works, replicate. It does work, fix and replicate. Second, optimize all the time, whatever you do. Make it better and better and better. So that's why you need measurements. Don't tell me, I went to this workshop and it changed my life. How? What was changed exactly? If you made $1 million, now you make $2 million, I can understand it. Can you measure it? Okay, you can measure habits, you can measure any, but not just it changing how I see the world, because this is not important. The only, I would say, two or maybe three things that I can offer people. First of all, if you have an organization, a company or something, go and start to work with an improv coach, because look, it's beautiful. I didn't know it would become so beautiful. We built this company only like 9 months ago, and it gets very good results. So if you have, let's say, a whole team of a startup, go, because it's so low cost anyway. So wow, it's like $10 per session, even less. Go and do it. Give it to all the employees. Optimize the system. Then we can give recommendation to the leader of the company on what to do with all this knowledge from all the employees, because we have a lot of data. Mm-hmm. We don't do it B2C yet, so I cannot offer people to sign in, you know, and do it from themselves. Maybe we'll have it soon. Just go with somebody that can guide you and learn how to coach yourself every 15 minutes. And the guide will enhance your ability. So this is when it comes to improv. I think that if you are a writer of a bestseller and you have a list, let's say, of, I don't know, 5,000 people that you want to take the book and give it to us, and we will create a method of implementation. We'll give you all the necessary data for you to understand what works, what doesn't work, and so on. If you have this kind and you have at least 5,000 people, 10,000 people, whatever you have, and you want us to take the implementation, it will be white labeled and we will help you to do it for you. And also share with you the revenues. So this is another business, another offer, I would say. Offer from offer. So it's an offer from offer. I think when it comes to education systems, if you know any education system, government system, local system, schools, that they need help with them, with education, how to help all the children become gifted. If you want to study by yourself, how to work with the children, like an added homeschooling model or homeschooling model. It's not subjects. It's about, if you look, if the child is gifted, then you solve all the problems. Of course, without the emotional part, right? But gifted is gifted. And non-gifted will take him hours to learn something that the gifted can learn in 2 minutes. So help your children to become gifted, because it's necessary. And being able to understand every subject, that's the layer of the polymath thinker. So you can go to stages.global. You can look, you can write an email to me, or you could do whatever you want. Improv, you go to improv.ai. Improv is like improvisation, right? Or improv improvement, like improv.ai. Go there, look what we do. Tell us if you want to collaborate, if you want to work with us. If you are a coach, executive coach, we will help you. We will coach the layers that you don't coach. If you are a consultant, we will do the implementation of your consulting with all the employees. If you are a trainer, you do training, we will do the implementation, give you the data, and you'll tell us what you want. So we are not competing with any market. We just support the market. This is when it comes to this. And on a personal level, when I have the time, if somebody wants to build a whole school online with all this kind of processes in place, you know, sometimes I can help some people to do it. So they can approach me personally, you know, through the websites or whatever, and they will be able to help them to build methodologies. Which is, for me, methodology and technology is almost the same. You create a methodology that works, you create processes, you put it on a technology, and the technology will work. So if you want to build a technology company, you need a methodology, tell me and I'll try to see, you know, in the time that I have, because I still have to run two organizations, but I have a team, so I can be helpful. So this is kind of the things that I can share. And on a personal level, if anyone wants to know more or something, just write to me. I do answer.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for sharing that and for your kindness offer. And to our listeners, stay tuned for the next episode. And until next time, remember to keep growing your businesses and provide massive value to the world. You are the reason why we're all growing richer, our freedoms are expanding, and we're all living in greater prosperity. Thank you.